The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show again with Nathan Ross. It is Saturday, October the 16th. If you're hearing this for the first time, or you will be hearing this for the first time, it's Saturday, October the 16th. I wanted to talk about a few things today. It's all news related for the most part, but in the context of explaining what we're doing with our clients to prepare for and otherwise take advantage of some of the new rules that may apply. We don't know yet because and I'm referring to the Build Back Better Act that's been getting punched around literally in Congress. And for those of you that have enjoyed watching the back and forth of what happens when a party has a very slim majority in Congress, it's always interesting to me, having watched this for quite a few years, when the when one party or the other controls the legislative process, but just barely. And you know, it's interesting how, if you look at what we have now, where you've got a 50-50 split in the Senate, and you've got very small majority in the House. I think it's, if I remember right, it's 8 or 9 votes, although it's kind of a moving target at times. But when you look at the Senate, those 50 Democratic senators each become a competitor with the administration or the president, because one vote, each one of those senators controls success or failure. And so it creates a real hardship. It would be far better, and you've seen this historically, if there is not a majority in the Senate or the House, because then both sides have to work together to get what they want. They can't just assume they're going to pull their associates, or in this case the Democratic associates, through to the finish line. And if you think that, you know, individual Democrats don't have their own agendas to satisfy their own constituencies, whether it's the Senate or the House, boy, you're sadly mistaken. And are we seeing that play out firsthand in literally the name-calling that it's developed into in the Senate? And I think on the Republican side, Senator McConnell, at least so far, is just trying to stay out of it and watch the hopefully the self implosion. But you know, this week we had Bernie Sanders, the head of the Senate Finance Committee, that kind of sets the agenda in that body, calling out Joe Manchin from West Virginia about how, you know, he shouldn't be the deal breaker that prevents the rest of his party from pushing this socialist agenda over the finish line that's being attempted. And Manchin's response was, I don't take my marching orders from an avowed socialist. So effectively, he called it that. An independent socialist, I believe is how he referred to it. And you know, it is striking when you think about some of the folks that are in leadership now across the spectrum of the administration. I mean, you've got avowed, the banking system, the nominee for the, I can't remember the title, but it's the head of the banking system, probably some commissioner, excuse me, is an avowed communist that wants to do away with the U.S. banking system. That's the person that's going to be in charge. What do you think's going to happen in terms of policy, right? You've got another one that's been nominated, I think may have already passed, as the head of the Bureau Land Management Department that was spiking trees with metal shards not, you know, 20 years ago, which caused some people to be severely injured, the loggers that were cutting trees. And these were high up, the way they place these things. And, you know, that person is now going to be leading the department that manages, just call it, manages our trees and forest. It's just, it's hard to fathom what's happened in our country. And, of course, I haven't even gotten to the taxes yet. The taxes are another conundrum where you've got people that helped create the rules. Senator Ron Wyden, Oregon, was around back in the 80s. He's been in the Senate, or he's been in Congress. I'm not sure if he was a House or a representative in the House before he became a senator in the Senate, but he's been around since 1980, where he fashioned many of the rules that affect IRAs, and then later one of my favorite strategies, which is the 401 trust. And now he and others that have been around and created these rules have watched Americans execute the rules that they created. And for some reason, the ones that have taken those rules and played within the rules and achieved a certain level of success, which we'll talk about here in a minute, they're the bad guy, and they've exploited the rules, by gosh, for taking advantage of them. And now we need to punish them. And by the way, we're not going to stop there. We're going to punish any of you folks that have even thought about achieving your retirement goals in terms of savings and using tax-deferred dollars. Or, more importantly, and the better deal right now, as far as I'm concerned, is don't use pre-tax, use after-tax, use Roth dollars, because the way these folks are spending, there is nothing in front of us but higher tax rates. It's gonna happen, because it's the math of having literally a real deficit of about $130 trillion, despite the $30 trillion that will actually be admitted to on most of the official budgets, you know, funding, etc., as they fight now over what's really another $7 trillion, according to the Wall Street Journal and others that have analyzed the details. It's not $3.5 trillion. That's the starting point. But the way these rules are crafted, others, like the states or other parts of the federal government, are going to have to pick up the load to get these programs over the next 10-year period. Anyway, I've only got a minute before the break. I want to just elaborate on our disclaimer to remind you that just because you listen to the show today, I don't become your CPA, nor does NP Roth CPAs, etc. And anything you hear, we think the content is accurate up to today's show. That said, you should always, whether it's my show or any other show, check with your own personal advisors, legal, tax, real estate, etc., to make sure that these concepts apply to your facts and circumstances. Okay, I hear the music. We'll be back shortly, and we'll pick back up with some of the news.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
As patriotic Americans, we know that freedom isn't free. While many costs are obvious, the VA says over half post-9/11 veterans suffer from symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. This has led to rising divorce rates and, tragically, record increases in suicides in the military and veteran community. We know what they've done for us. See what you can do for them. The PTSD Foundation of America. Go to PTSDUSA.org.
With Houston Methodist Virtual Urgent Care, you can skip the drive and the waiting room and connect to our board-certified providers from your computer, tablet, or mobile phone. Virtual urgent care visits are available 24/7, no appointment needed, even on weekends and holidays. Now you can get the same trusted care you expect from Houston Methodist, wherever you are, whenever you need us.
To learn more, visit HoustonMethodist.org. Houston Methodist, leading medicine.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. And we were just talking about some of the goings-on in Congress. And one of the things that I guess most of you will realize if you've paid attention at all is that there's been a delay due to the infighting that's occurred. And, you know, I don't think it should be taken as a sign that the Build Back Better bill or bills, however they split this stuff up as they reconsider, which they're obviously going to have to do. But, you know, now there's no line in the sand as to when this has to happen. You know, if you've been following this, the debate, I guess you might call it, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was going to be done by Monday, then it was going to be Friday. And of course, those deadlines came and went, made Speaker Pelosi look bad for the first time in a long time, or at least, I'm sorry, look bad in terms of the legislative process. I think many of us would argue that her policies and other components of her persona, perhaps, have looked bad for quite some time. But it, with regard to her hold on power, it sure seems like it may have weakened. And, you know, I've made the comment before that there's blood in the water, and the sharks that are circling are probably the progressives. You know, it's the AOC crowd that is looking to take a huge chunk out of this massive amount of money to fund many socialist policies, things that we deserve. Things like free college, although it looks like that's going to be the first sacrifice offered up. I saw a comment by Biden yesterday or the day before that doesn't look like we're going to be able to hand everybody a free community college education, which I'm going to argue that's probably a good thing. You know, I think there's other options in life, obviously, than community colleges, whether it's you know, going to a four-year or I guess upper tier institution, or whether it's learning a trade. I mean, I would argue that learning a trade is probably more effective for most people than a degree from a community college facility. But anyway, you know, there's going to be some changes to the child care. There's going to be changes to assorted other of the green programs, let's hope, because, you know, sometimes you really, if you step back and look at what's being proposed, you realize there is no possible way that we as a country or the world, moreover, is going to be able to pivot from some of our current energy sources and all of a sudden, you know, have clean energy. And, you know, when you look at the cost of producing the clean energy, excuse me, you know, the insanity kicks in. I mean, some of to develop, and not just develop, the actual ongoing cost of delivering certain green energy far exceeds the cost, all cost, tangible and intangible, of the current fossil fuels. And it doesn't seem like, as with tax policy, by the way, doesn't seem like there's a lot of thought given that would fall into the common sense category. And I'll give you a quick example on the tax front. You know, there's some massive changes to the retirement area that we work in, although the 401 trust has largely been spared again, effectively. But there's a concept of restricting who can do Roth conversions or who will be able to those that make less than $400,000. And so you've got to think in a way that's a revenue raiser, although maybe not. I mean, that's part of the issue. When I look at some of these provisions, it looks like it's more about punishing the successful than it is about raising money, because the Roth conversion is a perfect example. You know, people are rushing to do Roth conversions, but there's really no reason to, other than the economics of higher taxes coming. It's not because you want to get in under the line. The provision that restricts Roth conversions doesn't kick in until 2032, 10 years from now, 10 plus years from now. So it's like, if we're trying to raise money, I'm not sure who won that argument. That had to be an argument between competing factions, and I guess they finally threw in the towel or waved the flag and said, okay, well, we're going to keep them, but we'll push them out 10 years. Well, I would argue most of our clients will be done if we do it the way I suggest, where we do an optimal amount for conversion each year over 5 to 10 years. We will have accomplished the goal of getting our dollars moved over to the tax-free bucket before that law kicks in. But anyway, you could go into all the different programs and find an issue like that where it's like, you know, somebody thought about it, somebody else tweaked it, three more people said, well, you know, we want our constituents' needs involved, and whether it's housing, whether it's education, whether it's energy, there's just not a lot of common sense that comes to the fore by the end of the day. But in any event, speaking of the abuse, quote unquote, of the retirement arena, I pulled a few quotes out of some articles over the last couple months since the ProPublica, ProPublica.org was the website that somehow miraculously got access to all this information that the IRS is supposed to keep private, which, by the way, that would be another reason not to hand the IRS another $80 billion, which is part of the Build Back Better. That is the last organization we need to entrust that level of money to update their systems and to find still more ways for data breaches, for system breaches, for improperly paid out earned income credits, et cetera. You want to raise money, how about stopping the leaks of fraudulent earned income credits? It's massive. And, you know, don't tell me you need technology to do that. You need a little common sense. And yeah, there's a lot of great people at the IRS. The problem is the apparatus, the bureaucracy wears them down. And I've, as a CPA, I've always had empathy for the folks in my business that happen to work, quote, for the other side. It's really, the good ones are a resource for us. It's the ones that aren't so prepared and aren't so efficient, I guess you might say, that cause us professionals problems in trying to resolve issues with our clients. Anyway, ProPublica published an article, I'm thinking it was mid to late August, and they identified that some wealthy Americans, the evil ones, own or hold Roth IRAs that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars compared to the $39,000 for the average account holder. Democrats requested data at that point, as if they didn't already have it, probably. I'm guessing that's probably what led to the breach. And somebody forgot this wasn't, you know, something that was supposed to be shared with the public, maybe. Anyway, it shows, the data shows that more than 28,000 people. Now, ProPublica is a little bit left-leaning, so they would, you know, they phrase this as, quote, it shows more than 28,000. I would write this article as only 28,000 have IRAs worth $5 million or more. I think that's truly remarkable. You know, in fact, if you look at the number of taxpayers that earn $5 million or maybe are worth $5 million, I'll promise you this 28,000 that hold $5 million or more in their Roth IRAs, that's a peanut. So to me, this is not a problem. This shows we need to make it easier. We need more people to fall into this camp, because guess what? That will someday be a resource for Congress, because maybe they can put needs testing into the the social safety net that they seek to create. But of course, the progressive left won't consider needs testing, or at least they're saying they won't right now, because that's something that Senator Manchin has suggested, is that, you know, look, some of this is a good idea, but why are we going to hand billions, at least, maybe trillions? I'm not sure that any one program is going to cost a trillion, but it wouldn't surprise me. But why are we going to hand that out to people that don't need it? It makes no sense if it's truly a safety or a social safety net we're trying to create. Anyway, the article also mentions the number of multimillion dollar IRAs has soared in the past decade as more wealthy Americans use the tax advantage vehicles to shield fortunes. It's not to create money for retirement in their mind, which, you know, again, who wrote these rules? Did the wealthy Americans come up with these rules? I don't think so. But in any event, I think for the first time, it became apparent that, you know, there were some mega Roth accounts, although, you know, it's a number somewhere north of $15 billion, I believe, was their stat, that was held by just 156 Americans. That's a peanut in the overall scheme of the spending that's being proposed and the other reining in, if you will. And I think in large measure, excuse me, this is all about punishment. You know, this is, you know, more of the current mantra, which is, hey, we've got to level the playing field so that the poor, and really it's interesting, the approach, it's not so they can become millionaires, it's so the millionaires become more poor-like, I guess you might say, because otherwise they would be encouraging people to put money into retirement, as they did back in the 80s when most of this stuff got created and pushed out. Another finding, and this goes into the camp of the inflation tax. I love that term. I'm starting to see it more and more in Congress and the media, the conservative media, that have recognized the significant inflation that's already occurred this year with the spending that primarily the Biden administration's done. Now, you could also look at our Republican friends that pushed out, I believe it was $6.5 trillion in spending last year. There's no effect that that's worked its way through the economy. But regardless, it's spending money we don't have. It's throwing more dollars into the system, and you know, with more dollars in the system, chasing what appears to be a smaller supply. The supply chain is upside down. You may have noticed, because not as many people want to work, and when you don't have as many people willing to unload cargo ships and drive 18-wheelers to deliver product, all of a sudden, again, you've got more dollars chasing fewer goods, so the prices are going to go up. But in any event, article this week about how excise taxes and fees on your cell phone, on wireless services, increase in 2021. And it's basically, let's see, percentage-wise, I think it's about 20%. In any event, you might be surprised to learn that the average American pays nearly, currently, $300 per year on a family plan in taxes, fees, and government surcharges. That's a lot of money when you multiply it across, you know, millions of families. Looks like we're getting ready to go to a break. If you want to ask a question today, feel free to call in 281-558-5738. Or text me at 713-782-1900, or send me an email, nathan@npross.com. We'll be right back.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BePlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BePlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
KSEV and its advertisers want to thank you, the listeners, for all your continued support. Without you supporting our advertisers, there would not be a Voice of Texas. We stand behind our clients, and if you're looking to boost and grow your business, join the great team at KSEV and its loyal audience by calling a member of our sales staff at 281-588-4800. That's 281-588-4800. KSEV, loyal listeners and dependable advertisers, are the Voice of Texas.
Hi, folks. Dan Patrick here. Now that we're in the middle of hurricane season again, that can bring storms and strong winds. And let's not forget the damage that strong winds can cause to your big, valuable trees. You don't want to lose them, and you don't want anything damaged below them when the branches fall. That's why you need to call my friend Louis Flory and Ability Tree Experts. I've known them for over 30 years. It's time to deep root feed your trees to help with this stress. Louis Flory at Ability Tree Experts knows this is the perfect time to prune and remove the deadwood in your trees. This will thin them out and help with the stress. Borers, beetles, and other insects are going to be drawn to your weak trees. The trees need to be sprayed to prevent these insects from attacking, so call Ability Tree Experts at 281-441-4179. They are the expert for all of your tree needs. Ability Trees is giving a deep root feeding with every tree prune. Call Ability Tree Experts at 281-441-4179. Get your trees pruned now and the canopies cleaned out. Call today for an appointment, 281-441-4179. You never know when that next storm is coming. Ability Trees, Houston's leading tree care professional.
Paul Berlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul every Saturday evening, 6 till 8 p.m. Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m. KSEV. In heavenly Houston.
Okay, welcome back to the third segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. Again, for those of you that want to call in and ask a question, you can do so by calling 281-558-5738. I just touched briefly on the inflation tax that's already occurred, and you know, a lot of people, they hear it in the media and it doesn't really sink in. Even the media is talking about inflation. It's always interesting to see when something becomes so prevalent, the mainstream media can't continue to ignore it, or it almost becomes too obvious, you know, how they're covering for the administration. But in any event, you know, Biden, and I should say President Biden, he is our president after all, I think. In any event, he's waved away inflation concerns on numerous occasion. And I remember it wasn't that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, that he argued that no serious economist, quote unquote, was suggesting that unchecked inflation was on the way. Well, that was 4 months ago. We're now in the sixth month of historic inflation spikes. And I remember one of the economists that spoke out almost immediately was Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton. He was Barack Obama's National Economic Council Director. I think he's a pretty serious economy, and I think he is a professor at Harvard. I know he was. I think he still is. This is what we would call a serious economist, and he believes runaway inflation and bottleneck supply chain problems pose a serious risk to the economy. Now, he didn't just make that comment yesterday after it's already apparent. He made it months ago. So the irony, and again, this is related to my comment I made earlier, is do the people proposing all these policies ever step back and look at what they're actually proposing and who it affects? And, you know, this isn't some abstract philosophical debate. This is tangible. And I'm going to tell you, the older you are, the more sensitive you are to the potential harm of inflation. Having either lived through the 70s, when you may remember the embargo for oil that we had implemented, and I remember as a kid, you know, we bought gas every other day, or you could buy gas every other day, if I remember correctly, and I can't remember how it was doled out. Maybe it was our license plate numbers. There was something about who could go today versus tomorrow. And the only thing that fixed the stagnation, and you got to understand this because this is what's coming now. We've been here before. That era's stagnation was fixed with the institution of higher interest rates. Ding, ding, ding. Does that ring any bells? Remember when the rates went up? I can remember when I was in University of Houston finance class. The prime rate, if I'm not mistaken, it was north of 20%. 21%, I believe, was the high. And I'll never forget my finance professor, Dr. Francis Strasser, I believe was his name, crusty old guy, been around a lot, worked in corporate finance. He said, let me tell you something. At 21%, most CEOs would prefer to stay in bed every morning instead of getting out of bed to figure out what's breaking today. How are we going to stay in business? And so I'm telling you, high interest rates, by the way, that era of stagnation was fixed not with just high interest rates, but a couple serious recessions. And that's what's coming. We hope it's a recession. We hope it's not a depression, which is what some other serious economists are saying. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of images, I think, of some gas lines. There's going to be some, quote, crisis of confidence speeches given by the politicos. You watch. It's coming. And, you know, the two groups that it's probably going to affect the most are retirees. Inflation is like an immediate death blow to someone that's on pretty much a fixed income. And that's tough. And then, of course, the poor. When your gas goes up 42% over last year, and there's a big surprise coming for heating oils apparently this year, the U.S. Energy Information Administration expects households to see their heating bills jump as much as 54% compared to a year ago. Think about that. 54%. There's your inflation tax. You want to put a number on it? In the heating oil area, 54%. It's crazy. But anyway, so what are we doing as investors, specifically real estate investors, to counter these changes? Because let me tell you, you don't control the changes. Hopefully, you learn about ways, as I've told many clients over the year, when they talk about cutting costs and, you know, they realize, well, gee, we've already cut everything we can cut. How about we focus on making more money? You know, there's two ways to deal with this scenario. We can either continue to cut what we can, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, that's limited. As one of my associates has said many times in the past, you can't save your way to $1 million. Now, that's back when $1 million meant something, and now you could probably plug in $2 million or $3 million. You've got to earn $2 million to save $2 million. Actually, you've got to earn more than $2 million if you're doing it on a after-tax basis. Pre-tax, that might work. And then you've got to get it into investments that are making above-average rates of return that will compound those profits. And that would seem to be real estate, based on what I've seen and read constantly. And I would tell you that the mega wealthy, 11% of the mega wealthy, I'm not talking about 90% of the world's millionaires, I'm talking about the richest people in the world, have made their fortunes in many ways. But one common thread I think you'll find across all is that real estate was a core part of their strategy. And it may not have been like Donald Trump's done it, where he was actively acquiring, you know, improving, constructing, et cetera, managing it. Or it may be like a lot of my clients, where they're investing in what I call REPS, that's REPP, a little S, which is real estate private partnership syndications. And I want to just talk briefly about why do we like private syndications. And I guess before I do that, I should talk about what is a private syndication. And as an investor, you know, let's say you start off on the natural progression of the real estate investor, where maybe you buy a rental property, or maybe you lived in a residence, you moved and you decided, hey, I could rent this property for X number of dollars. It's more than my mortgage and cost. Therefore, it's free cash flow. I'm going to go that route. Next thing you know, it turns in, you know, that geese or that goose that's laying the golden egg bears some little geese, and you buy several more single family properties. In any event, there'll come a point where your resources may be tapped out and you've reached the limit of how much you can grow on your own. Well, that's when you want to start thinking about these real estate private partnership syndications that are typically investing in multifamily assets, apartments. Although there are some that focus on single family, we like the ones dealing with apartments for multiple reasons. And, you know, when you talk about what is real estate syndication, it's a partnership between a syndicator, or what we refer to as a sponsor or a lead partner, and several or more investors. We combine our skills, resources, capital to purchase and manage properties that no one of us could otherwise afford financially. And the beauty about the syndication model is that you as a passive investor do not have to worry about going out, finding the property, finding a lender, finding other partners to put into the group that's going to acquire the multifamily asset. And multifamily assets are not like drilling an oil and gas well, where you literally, yes, with an oil and gas well, you've got due diligence, you've got engineers and geologists. I guess you've got more geologists than engineers that find or think they found reserves. But boy, it's still a several hundred thousand dollar, if not several million dollar unknown, where until you drill, you don't know if you've got oil, you got water. And I know that's a simplification for all you geologists out there. I don't mean to demean your inability to read the future. But with multifamily apartment assets, we do have the ability to read the future. And why do I say that? Because, you know, with 50,000 members of the National Apartment Association, where the National Apartment Association tracks data, details, outcomes on many, many thousands of properties, the Texas Apartment Association, likewise, the Houston Apartment Association, likewise, we know on any given property what the prospect is for the money that goes in versus the money that will come out. And I don't want to make it sound like a monkey can do this, but I'm going to tell you, 80% maybe the monkey could get on his own. I don't know. It's a high number because it's a known process. It's a known equation. The money going in will never turn into the water that comes out of an oil and gas well. I've got an oil and gas well interest somewhere in Illinois, never been there. Got a check for the first 2 months, and since then, the only person that's gotten a check is the guy carrying the water out every month. Been no more funds come out to Nathan. And I understand that's not every oil and gas well, obviously, but that's my experience. So why we like real estate syndications are the money, the cash flow is more... it's not assured, but it's far more likely because we understand the metrics and people need a place to live. And so in any event, joining together is essentially what the real estate syndication consists of. You choose your role. You may have the mindset, the personality, et cetera. Well, I hear the break coming. Let's pick this up on the backside. We'll talk about a little bit more about syndications and how to use your retirement funds to invest in these creatures. We'll be right back.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
When it's time to replace a roof, some people put it off until an emergency arises. This is Deb Tejada from Tejas Roofing, your Houston roofing company. I understand. People tell me it's way too complicated and too expensive.
Our customers tell us they wish they would have done it sooner.
I hear it all the time. Once the roof is replaced, they wonder why they waited so long, because it's really not that complicated. We show up on time, we quote you a fair price, we replace most roofs in just one day. At Tejas Roofing, we take pride in making the process easy.
The cleanup is phenomenal. People always comment that it looks like we were never there. And now those customers sleep better at night knowing your new roof has been installed correctly.
When you know you need a new roof, don't put it off. Call me now, Deb Tejada at Tejas Roofing, 281-251-0304. Estimates are free, 281-251-0304. When you need roofing repairs, a new roof, or remodeling, call us at Tejas Roofing, 281-251-0304.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. We're into the final segment here, so if you've got any questions, feel free to call me, 281-558-5738. So we were talking generally about real estate private partnership syndications and how you can participate in two ways. You can either participate as a sponsor if you have the personality, the mindset, some capital, some management skills, or, as I recommend for most of our clients, especially for those of us that want to enjoy traveling or let me just say it this way. We don't want to get out of bed in the morning and go run a Class C, Class B, et cetera, apartment building. We want to leave that to the younger folks that have the energy and you know, have the desire to grow their real estate syndication business, and there are a lot of good ones around. I want to just touch briefly on the investor platforms that you no doubt hear on the radio. There's assorted ones on this station. One has a radio show that comes on right before mine. They make it sound like they're the only people in the world that understand how to buy real estate and make money. It's obviously not the case. And in this day and time, you no longer need to join a platform to get access to quality syndication projects. That's something we find help our clients position their money and invest their money, especially the retirement funds that you may not even realize you can use. Your 401k plan at the office is something that here in Texas, if you're married, we can get access to those dollars without you quitting your job, even if you're well under the age of 59. So we help people identify private real estate partnerships that they can invest without the need to join a platform. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just a $20,000 expenditure you may not have if you're starting off with a smaller amount of funds that we can help you avoid. And you'll get one-on-one, literally one-on-one coaching as part of that process. Not to mention help with analyzing the math. We are not an investment advisor. We don't tell you, hey, you should pick this one over that one. We help analyze the math that will result from these pro forma numbers. We understand that market. I've personally invested in that market. I've personally drafted partnership operating agreements that define how we're going to split cash flows, profits, depreciation, et cetera, et cetera. I understand where the snakes are buried and the ones that you're going to be looking at. I understand the difference between return on capital, return of capital. I understand what normal fees should be in these transactions. And by the way, fees are out of control. And the difference between you making above average rates of return or a normal below rate of return, et cetera, a lot of it these days is fees. And you'll be amazed when I point out to you on certain transactions what the fees are versus other transactions where they may be more rational and where you've got a much higher likelihood of achieving success. Not to say you won't get there on your own, but you'll be multiples of tens of thousands of dollars behind because of what happens in the interim. And, you know, I looked at a transaction the other day for one of my clients. We were comparing three transactions. two of them had fees that took, of her $100,000 investment, would have taken $80,000 out over the 5-6 years that it was in play. And when you think about that, that materially, I don't care if you know the math or understand the math, you certainly understand that is a big chunk of one's investment. And when you consider the throughput or the net return on investment or the net internal rate of return, I don't care which measure you're looking at. And again, I'm just a caveman accountant. You know, if you remember the Saturday Night Live sketch with Phil Hartman, I believe it was, caveman lawyer, where, you know, he didn't understand much. He just knew his client was deserved, you know, $50 million. Okay, well, I'm telling you right now, you don't need to know math. Be like me. I'm a caveman, but I understand, for instance, when you're told to give 30% of your IRA or 401k to the government so you can get started on investing, that's a bunch of baloney. Again, I'm a caveman. All I know is if you give away 30% of something, you got less than 100 left to then put into investments and earn these marvelous compounded returns that come with being financially free. I want to be financially free on 100% of my retirement money. And in some cases, that may mean I don't join your platform because your platform makes money for you more than it's going to make money for me. Yes, I've said it. That's the reality of some of the folks out there offering investor platforms, and they make you feel like you can't get there on your own. Well, that may be a true statement, but there's other ways getting there without necessarily joining some of those platforms. In any event, again, back to the private placements, the beauty behind the concept, or the private real estate partnerships, we also call private placements, is that you're able to basically stay in bed every day if that's what you want to do, and once a quarter, twice a year, once a year, depending on how much cash flow is being generated. And obviously there's been some COVID-related issues that have slowed the, in some cases, slowed the cash flows. In other cases, there's been very little effect, if any. I know I've got clients in transactions that have sold over the last year or two that COVID's been in play that have made more money than you can imagine on their investment. They're getting what I call operational or interim cash flows where the rents each month exceed the expenses. All that happens. And in reality, a big part of that is how successful is the syndicator, the sponsor, and how much money are they taking out off the top versus their override or their promote, we call it, which happens off the bottom. And again, we can show you the effect of that math. And then as you find transactions that might be a fit for you, we can help analyze them and help keep you into the deals that should make you money. Again, all based on pro forma or prospective information. In any event, in terms of using your retirement money, the first thing you have to do is gain control of your money. And that's something we wholeheartedly agree with others that make that part of their program focus, if you will. You know, I'm amazed at how many people have significant funds. Well, I'm not amazed at how many people have significant funds in their 401. I'm amazed how few of them understand how to get to those funds because your HR departments don't understand what we do in terms of how to use the tax code, how to use the legal rules in the state of Texas that are associated with our community property state status. And it's not just that we're community property here in Texas. It's the manner in which the statutes are deployed. And when you've got the ability to repartition or to partition your retirement accounts into your wife's or your spouse's, I guess I shouldn't say wife, I've got many clients where it's been the wife's 401 that we've partitioned over the husband, and then at that point you're able to roll it into a 401 trust or an IRA to invest in real estate. So if you want to see how that reality could be your reality, if you will go to my website at beaplanner.com, that's BEAPLANNER, just like it sounds, .com. I've got some intake forms out there. If you'll complete those, I'll be happy to show you an illustration of how your specific facts and circumstances, meaning how much money do you have to get started? How do you define retirement? Is it $100,000 after-tax income? Is it $150,000? Is it $550,000? These are questions that most of the people on the radio that are telling you you should cash out your retirement funds never bother to ask you, because they presume you're not going to care to pay tax to control your money. I say pay no tax and control your money. Get twice as much financial freedom once you've invested it. And obviously, two times is better than one time. And, you know, the ongoing ability to invest your profits back in to another transaction or four is significant when you're not leaking 30% or what's probably going to be more here at some point as these tax rates go up. Tax brackets are on sale. I'm going to leave you with a parting thought. The tax brackets are on sale. Buy some. Let's get your pre-tax dollars converted over to Roth and take advantage of generating tax-free income. How about instead of low tax, how about no tax off of your real estate private partnership investments as you go over the next 30 years? And in any event, I know enough of you get it. I talk about this every week. In spite of not getting many phone calls, I'll tell you, I get emails, and it's amazing to me the number of people that understand how that working with a planner, we're a planner, we're not reporters. We will report if we need to accommodate your specific tax return needs. It's not what we seek, but often with the strategies that we're putting in place to save you money or create wealth, we've got an incentive, a vested incentive, to make sure that you're able to execute without a reporter not understanding, you know, what the game plan is. So, again, the starting point to work with us is to fill out those forms. Also, at the bottom of that homepage, baplanner.com, you can see an illustration of the 401 trust that I did for another prospect. And, of course, yours will look different, but it may reflect a different definition of retirement, a different timeline. We can show you when you can retire based on pro forma information instead of just telling you, oh, you know, the majority of our members retire in 2.5 years, which is a bald-faced lie, or maybe it's sales huff. I don't know. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt, those of you that make that claim. Having been one that's been a member of those types of organizations and done tax returns for several thousand, probably collectively, never seen somebody retire in 2.5 years that didn't have at least $1.5 million to $2 million to invest and defined retirement as no more than a couple hundred thousand, because it just, it's mathematically impossible. Well, I hear the music. We're coming to the end. I've enjoyed it once again. It seems like it always goes too fast. But for those of you that have questions, feel free to email me, Nathan@npross.com. Go to our beaplanner.com website. Get on our mailing list. We're getting ready to start some educational events and some events related to the tax rules and some tax planning strategies, etc. We'll be sure to keep you in the loop on that if you'll sign up at the site. Okay, we'll be back next week. We hope you can join us.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.